Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Hentai Corner with more Maggot Baits. We're doing 2 hours of Maggot Baits. They're going to be split into 2 episodes. And I hope you guys enjoy it as part of Visual Novel Week. And we've got more coming, don't worry. I'm sorry I didn't get anything yesterday. It was a rough day for me. But I'm going to make it up tonight. The smell of blood and smoke hung heavily in the air around the mansion before dawn. Bullet holes were strewn about in the hall as Tsunaga Shogo stood facing the witches. Carol and Wilma had been on standby at the mansion, but Gloria and Allison were there too, returned from their walk to replenish their magic power. Getting straight to the point, we'll have to abandon this mansion as a base now that the enemy is aware of it. Though they managed to slaughter the raid this time, it was almost certain they'd send a second or third wave now that it was known to them. Fortunately, there weren't any witches among their forces this time, and no one could say next time would be the same. If they sent the strongest witch, Sandy, with their troops, fending them off would be perilous. Then where do we go next? Hide a tree in the forest. We'll relocate into Pandemonium and go directly for the enemy's throat. Nothing was more tenuous than gorillas with an exposed base. If they hid themselves in a crowd of people, they could become elusive commandos once more. Either way, Tsunaga's war was starting to enter the decisive stages, whether it ended in victory or defeat. Serika Oni-chan's not coming? Allison was the first to bring that up. The immature witch hadn't noticed the implicit meaning her absence suggested. Well, no one answered her. The heavy silence only grew thicker. Allison was the only one confused by the lack of a response. Suddenly, Tsunaga's cell phone vibrated with a call. The number displayed on it was Serika's. It's me. Tsunaga answered the phone, but he heard no reply. He listened closely. Of the scenes in this game, this is probably my least favorite scene. I absolutely fucking hate this scene. Instantly, he could tell an abnormality had occurred from the sounds coming over on the radio waves. He could hear the vulgar, festive laughs of numerous men. The next sound that hit his eardrums was the terrifying scream of a woman. It had to be Serika's. Occasionally, the scream morphed into a throaty cry or an inhuman groan. A dull, deep, heavy, and wet sound rang out with each change in scream. Tsunaga realized what it was immediately, the sound of someone relentlessly beating human flesh. He already had a grasp of the situation. Serika had fallen into enemy hands. She was most likely kidnapped by several people and currently undergoing a gruesome assault at their hands. Eventually, Serika's hard-to-hear sobs made it over the phone speaker. It sounded like a rush of air was mixed in, too. Her teeth must have been broken. Her teary voice was weak, likely from the abuse she'd already suffered. It sounded like her lips were swollen, and what she tried to say was unclear. Still, she was desperately begging for Tsunaga to save her. She was probably ordered to do so while suffering their hellish abuse. She was completely at their whim. Since Serika hadn't undergone any special training, she couldn't hope to escape by herself. So, please die. Tsunaga spoke only those words before ending the call. Silence returned to the night. The air between them was heavier and more strained than before, filled with a sense of hopelessness and stifled breath. Everyone already realized who Tsunaga had just spoken to, and that her fate had been decided in that moment. The enemy's goal was to kidnap Serika and use her as a hostage. They probably hoped to use her to draw Tsunaga out, ambush him with ample preparation, and render him powerless. Tsunaga wasn't one to miss that, though. That's why he made it clear that he had no intention of negotiating with them. He thought it was rather unskilled of his enemy. They weren't even trying. Even they didn't believe in the perfect story of sacrificing oneself over friendships or bonds with your comrades. He actually felt angry that they imagined they could get something with that. Serika won't be returning anymore. Let's start moving at once. Tsunaga coldly proclaimed, looking at each of the four witches' faces. Allison felt anxious from the heavy mood. Gloria was making a sour face, but she and Serika oddly got along. Carol's attitude was calm and unchanged. Looks like this is the end, then. Wama muttered, a hard glow filling her jade green eyes. We'll go as far... We'll go as far as we can, so long as our interests align. Those were your words, Shogo. Looks like it's time for us to part. Then you're... From now on, I'll take action for my own sake. After watching Shogo, I've come to decide that's best. This is where we part, Gloria, Shogo. Woman gave them both a light smile, as if she didn't have regrets. Then she turned to Carol with a serious look. And you, Carol. Farewell. Farewell, Wilma. Carol nodded without changing her expression, but Wilma hugged her and peered into her pomegranate eyes. I've always thought of you as my little sister. Are you sure you won't come with me? To learn why we were born into this world? And why we're alive now? Carol's eyes widened in surprise. Wilma gave her a pained smile at that reaction and stepped away. You look like you never wanted or even thought about that. I imagine Shogo will continue to be the only thing on your mind. She then glared at Tsunade with cold, slightly jealous eyes. Carol, if you fall into the enemy's hands like Serica did, Shogo will likely make the same decision he did today. He will not venture unexpected risks to protect you. He'll only use you up like a pawn in Shogi. No one denied her statement, not even Tsunade himself. Are you alright with that? Will you still devote yourself to him knowing that? Wilma's voice carried her genuine feelings. Carol could tell she was truly concerned for her. I'm fine with that. Carol answered without pause. There was no hesitation in her voice, as if she knew no other words to say. I do feel pity for Serica, but I wouldn't mind if I were abandoned in the same way. I am his tool, so... Her words came from her heart, not force. Wilma could tell that, too. The black-haired witch heaved a sigh of resignation. Without turning back, she walked out the mansion door. Hey! Allison was the first to speak after Wilma left. Her purple eyes looked up at Tsunade, pleading. Oni-chan, did you abandon Serica Oni-chan because you don't need her anymore? Tsunade silently nodded as she stared at him. Then, am I unneeded now? No. Tsunade gently smiled away Allison's concerning question as he denied it. The expression was as rare to see as sunshine on permafrost. I need you, Allison. There's something I'd really like you to do. Something only you can do, Allison. Really? Her young face burst into a smile. Those short words cheered her up at once. Joy and relief filled her tiny body now that her place was secured. I love you, Oni-chan. Allison hugged Tsunade's waist and wouldn't let go. Gloria quietly glanced down at her and turned on her heel. Gloria, you're leaving too? Yeah, I'll do what I want as I always have. Not like thinking about the future is going to get me anywhere, right? I'm not smart like Wilma. Give me a call when something's interesting. When something interesting's going down. I'll come to help if I feel like it. Gloria scoffed as if mocking herself. Later, Allison. Have Shogo show you a good time. She jokingly closed one eye and waved as she left the mansion. Master! Allison watched sadly as Gloria left. She felt a bit guilty, for using her children cunning to switch from the woman, from using her childish cunning to switch from the woman she adored being with to Tsunaga. The thorn caused an ache in her tiny chest. Let's go. His voice was heavy like lead as he directed the remaining two witches, heedless of Allison's emotions. Tsunaga gathered what remaining equipment he could use and left this mountain mansion he used as a base for several months. The tale was moving on to the next story. The maggots, forced to crawl forward, lacking the eyes to view from the heavens, moved onward, believing they moved forward. However, there was one bug who could no longer even crawl. This is an episode of that maggot crushed under the heel of fate. No salvation will come for her. Okay, this is a horrible fucking scene. I don't like it. I'm gonna go through it pretty quickly. It's just full-on rape and just horrible shit. And of course, they all are gonna talk like drunk Uncle Henry.
Let me see your kids.
I should probably do that just to make fun of the shit writing they do when they do these rape scenes. The kidnapped Matsumaru Sarika was dragged in front of a room within Slumville. She fell as they suddenly shoved her inside the room, the bizarre stench filling it, leaking all the way inside. Oh, hey! The coldness of the floor and the stench of the fresh blood hanging thickly over it frightened Sarika. The floor and walls were stained a dark black from being soaked in blood. It had happened more than once or twice. The traces indicated some, no, numerous counts of torture and bloodshed in this room. What kind of inhumanities were conducted here? The stains splattered haphazardly made it easy to imagine. It was a torture room where witches cried and shed their blood, and Sarika, a normal human, had been dragged in here. They had already confiscated her stun gun that she used for protection, though using it wouldn't do her much good in this situation. Three men had kidnapped her. All of them seemed accustomed to dirty work, and they had no hesitation towards using violence. Stereotypical residents of this city. The worst fates possible looped through Serica's mind. Tortured, then killed. Raped, then killed. Tortured, raped, then killed. The only thoughts cycling through her head were full of despair. Yet even in that situation, Sarika was desperately racking her brain. There had to be a way to survive. There had to. She couldn't bear to think that there was no hope for her. She hadn't accomplished anything yet, and she hadn't been rewarded at all. Now, let's enjoy our fun time together. Sarika-chan, was it? One man called her with a chummy tone, his lips curled into a vulgar sneer. If anything happens to me, my friends won't take it quietly. She tried to hide her racing, fear-struck heartbeat and did her best to pretend like she was calm. She had to demonstrate that she wasn't helpless and that there was value in treating her with care as a hostage. Maybe so, but the men scoffed as if seeing through her facade. Yes, you'll be in for it when my friends come to rescue me. Sarika glared at the men, trying to convince them not to lay hands on her. I see, that sounds scary. Well, why don't we try and see if those friends will come help you? Circa's threats weren't working. The men chuckled as they drew closer. Stop! They ripped her clothes, tore them off, and pinned her down onto the cold floor. Alright, here we go. She was forced to lie face up with her breasts and crotch exposed. She had never revealed her new body so blatantly before, and especially not before multiple men. Her body grew hot with embarrassment, and the shame unintentionally made her skin flush. She was struck by fear. She imagined what they were going to do to her, and her breathing spiraled out of control. Oh, hey, aren't you carrying a bit too much fat for someone still young? The man reached out his hand and touched Sarika's skin. Yeah, I told you to stop this. Sarika let out a tiny scream as he roughly squeezed the pudge around her stomach. The scream wasn't from pain and came from the shame of having someone touch her where she didn't want to be. Sarika was a virgin, not because she valued chastity, but simply because hardships in her life kept her from romance. During her adolescence, she witnessed her mother getting duped by a host firsthand, and her wariness towards men thereafter only made things worse. After settling in the city, she had to keep her guard up, giving her even less chances to wear girly get-ups and makeup. Reasons continued piling up. Before she knew it, she became sexually timid, That mentality led to even less confidence in herself as a woman. That was exacerbated when all she saw in the city were women of the night dolled up as best as possible to assert their womanhood. There were also the beautiful witches worshipped by as goddesses by the men here as well. Compared to such splendid bitches, she was an ugly goose in a flock of swans. Her hair and brows were barely tamed, her nails were unclipped, and she surrounded her body with thick clothes to hide it from sight. She thought herself sloppy looking for a woman, so having one of her body's faults pointed out reflexively brought her shame. Oh, you're turning red, ha ha, bingo. Be quiet. Serica felt like she was on the verge of tears from humiliation after she was ridiculed and laughed at for something she was sensitive about. Oh, there's more than just your stomach. Your cunt hair is thick too. It's real bushy. Do you bother taking care of it? Your man will be grossed out if it comes time for sex if you leave it like this. That's not... Tears welled at the corner of her eyes. Her pubic hair was a little thicker than average, but the man's mean words caused frustration to build within her. Oh, have you experienced that before? No, I haven't. You don't have to hide it. Well, I bet you got a lot of sexual frustration, right? We'll help you relieve some of that. The man gave Serica a vulgar grin as he climbed on top of her. His shaft was already raging hard as he pressed it against her bare lips. Serica could feel the hot, hard sensation against her sensitive bits. Stop! Serica pressed down her frustration, humiliation, and fear to desperately try and buck her hips to throw the man off her. Still, it was impossible for her to resist by force alone. He spread her labia apart and shoved his hard-throbbing prick inside. It felt like her opening was splitting as his oversized cock head spread her to fit. It scraped apart her dry folds as it penetrated her body. Serica's hips jerked from the pain of his sick manhood trying to enter her. Hey, for real? You're a virgin? This is your hymen, isn't it? Serica bit her lips, unable to answer the man who grew aroused at her virginity. Tears streamed down her cheeks again. Good job saving it this long, are you stupid? Whatever, it just means you've been saving it all for me. Well, who'd save it for you? The man said what he wanted and forced his hips forward. No, there wasn't anything there. There was a dull snapping sound as her hymen, the proof of her virginity, broke. Serica could feel it echoing in her body. Her crotch was burning hot. Intense pain spread from the ache, assailing her in a place she never felt it before. She gritted her teeth to endure it, but tears streamed down from the sadness and frustration that the pain forced on her. This is just cruel. It wasn't like she held illusions about her first time. She considered exchanging her virginity for money at one point. Still, having her genitals forcibly used as a whole hurt with dignity she had as a bitter human. She couldn't bear it. So happy you're crying, huh? Then I'll need to go down even harder. The man mercilessly thrusted his hips before the pain of penetration calmed down. Circus hymen blood trailed out of her slit along the dick pounding in and out of her. Still, she showed her not a shred of sympathy. Circus tight pussy was receiving its first male penetration, but the man grinded this long, thick prick into her, forcing her meat passage open. She never felt the pain of pouring salt on a wound, but it must be similar. Whoa, hold on. No, that was probably better than the overwhelming pain she felt now. She gritted her teeth hard, constantly groaning. Your cunt's pretty tight for a bargain bin, pussy. Hey, man, don't complain about free cunt. I want to fuck this free cunt, too. Hurry up and trade off. You'll only be able to say that for now. She glared at the man with tears and hatred in her eyes. What? This bit about your friends coming to save you? That's right. They'll kill all of you. Hear that? Sounds like we're all getting killed. Crap. We'll need to get ready to run soon. Well, want to go out with me since we had sex? Make sure to tell your friend not to kill your boyfriend. The men laughed collectively at her. Circus threats weren't facing them at all. You can all go to hell. Shut up. The man suddenly spoke with cruelty in his voice before punching her full force. The powerful impact against her face caused her brain to shake and her vision to chaotically flicker. Sharp pain spread through her mouth, letting her forget the agony of her crotch for a moment. There was the awful sensation of biting pebbles or something similar in her mouth, along with the taste and stench of blood. She was confused, unable to process what just happened. Serica was shaken by the sudden intense pain inflicted on her. Oh, your teeth broke clean off. What a poor thing to do to her. My foot... She couldn't feel the front of her mouth from the numbing pain. She made efforts to move her tongue up and touch it, finding only the salty taste of blood and nothing else. Her front teeth weren't the only things damaged. Her lips were split, too. Blood was flowing from them. No way. Before she knew it, she couldn't even pronounce words properly. No way. She couldn't help but scream from the burning pain and the shock of her broken teeth. Though she'd crossed many dangerous bridges before, this was her first time suffering such abuse. She sensed her life was in danger. She couldn't stand the shock, leaving her in complete confusion. She fell into a panic, body shuddering as she screamed. Shut up and be quiet! He punched her face again. This time he hit her nose, and Serica heard the dull sound of something breaking. Hey now, don't break her face too much, or I'll go limp. Her nose is all smashed in now. She started feeling a burning heat deep in her nose. Her nasal bone was broken, leaving her nose deformed. Blood oozed from her nostrils. Why have you? Why have you do this? Circus shouted in rage at her abuse, blood spurting from her face. I told you to shut up, bitch! The man's fist buried itself in her soft stomach this time. The impact racing through her guts forced her to shout loud enough to surprise even herself. Tears flew from her eyes and her mouth opened wide, spitting out blood and froth. The dull, heavy pain forced a cold sweat on Serica as she writhed in agony. The man's punch to her stomach had hit close to her precious womb. Why are you snapping at us? Don't you get the position you're in? Then he hit her again. He hit her belly again, right near the solar plexus. Serica's eyes shot wide, facing in random directions as she coughed all the air out of her lungs. Her mouth was frozen half open as she choked for air, writhing from the dull pain she never experienced before. Well, did we have to hit you again until your guts are crushed before you understand? I'm sorry. She wrung her voice out despite the lack of air. What's that? Want us to hit you more? Don't hit me anymore. Please stop. She was at her limit. Her heart was completely crushed with fear. Subdued by their violence, she cried and pleaded with the men. Stop begging us with that face. You'll make us laugh. The men held their stomachs as they snickered from how ridiculous her swollen face looked without its front teeth. Serica shed tears in terror, not responding to the men's mockery. Your friends are coming to save you, right? Well, let's give them a call. One man picked up Serica's phone. He picked up its call history and redialed a number. This one. It's your most frequent in your recent history. Tsunoshika? How do you read this name?
It's me.
The man who answered was undoubtedly Tsunaga. The man turned the phone receiver towards Serica, showing her it was okay to speak.
It's me, Tsunaga.
Please save me wouldn't come out despite how much she wanted to say it. Her mind was blank with urgency to tell him about her situation. Between the haste and confusion, she lost her ability to speak.
Oh well, the man who dialed spat out, speaking for her.
Hey, long story short, she's a hostage, so you want to save your friend, right? Come save her. The man turned the receiver's mic towards Serica so she could hear Tsunaga's answer. Come on, your friend really wants to hear your voice. Say something. His hard fist dug into her face again. The pain brought heartfelt terror, and she sobbed, sad that she could only let him hit her as they pleased. The skin near her cheekbone instantly swelled purple, her face steadily growing misshapen, and it barely retained its original shape at this point. If you want to save her, let's make a deal, otherwise this Serica chan's gonna suffer a sadder fate. Without any pause following the blow, the man had hardly moved his hips thus far, but he suddenly began thrusting hard. His huge prick scraped against the inside of her pussy from entrance to womb. He moved so roughly that her hymen blood began to froth. Serica raised a hoarse scream from the additional intense pain, huge tears spilling from her eyes. Please help me! Serica pleaded for Tsunaga's help with pathetic tears grasping at hope in between her screams. She spoke those words with a readiness to devote her entire life to him if he saved her from this. Please die. But all she received was that cold, curt response, and heartlessly he ended the phone call. Serica went half mad. Why? Help me, help me, help me. Please help me. She was shouting like crazy, an unresponsive phone. He's abandoned you. Okay, that's one bad end for Serica-chan. The men showered with their vulgar laughter, but Serica's ears couldn't even hear them. No way, that can't. Help me, help me. Why won't you come for me? She couldn't believe it was real. She believed she was worth saving, and that Tsunaga had the power to do so. Yet, all the while, the man's inconsiderate rhythm sped up inside her. I won't abandon you here, okay? I'll make sure I finish first. I'll cream pie your virgin cunt. The man went into a spurt as he pistoned into her. Why won't he come? No. Serica shouted like a madman. She wanted salvation from the pain and suffering, but now she knew no one could come save her. She had only despair, but she still didn't want to die. Those conflicting sentiments spiraled endlessly in Serica's brain. Oh, I don't want to die. Help me, help me. Oh, if your friends aren't coming, it's up to you to save yourself. Go on, start by taking my semen up your cunt. The head of his cock slammed into her womb, making her writhe. He sprayed his own cum with great force, planting his dick deep into her pussy. Serica took this unknown man's cum into her pussy without a word of complaint. She knew it was the seed of scum that it could get her pregnant, but all she could do was groan without resistance as she let it fill her. There you go, drink it all down with your cunt. It didn't feel good at all. The warm liquid seeping deep inside her belly was nothing but disgusting. Still, she took his cum inside her pussy like he demanded. That was all he could do after her friends abandoned her. Just be obedient and try not to sour the mood. Her face was broken, her chastity was stolen, and she didn't have time to choose how to save herself as they planted their seed in her. Phew, I came a lot in this virgin cunt. Smiling with satisfaction, the man pulled his cock out of Serica. Her pussy gaped open, holding the shape of his prick as his cum glopped out. Cum pink from blood shot out with force. With ragged breath and tears, Serica felt the sensations of the abominable liquid oozing from her pussy. Having finished emptying himself inside her pussy, he pulled away. Well, now that I'm satisfied, I guess it's execution time now. No way, you said it was... You just said it was up to me. That's right, so I'm wondering what to do. Serica panicked and pleaded with the man laughing vulgarly at her. Please don't kill me, I'll do anything. Serica begged without pride or shame. She's planning to do anything to ensure her survival. She had long lost any self-respect that would hinder that. Just stop it. Hearing you say that with a face like that makes me laugh. Her abuser held his stomach and guffawed. Despite that, she desperately continued begging for her life. She didn't want to die. She didn't want to be killed here. That sole thought drove Serica forward. What should we do? Save her? No, we can't. There's nothing in it for us. No way, please. I'll service you. Please don't kill me. She looked up at the man with as much flirtation as she could muster while shedding tears. Well then, guess we'll have you service us. By the way, if you suck at it, it's necrophilia time. Necrophilia? Corpse still has a cunt. They don't scream like they do when they're alive either. The men looked at Serica without a shred of compassion. Their eyes saw her as a small animal that could kill on a whim. A chill raced down her spine, leaving her unable to even scream. Her mind stopped at the prospect of certain death. Well, if you're obedient as a corpse, we'll let you live for a while. The men surrounded her. The man who just came pressed his hips against Serica's crotch, inserting his large, lengthy dick into her freshly deflowered slit. The only thing her pussy could feel was its incredibly substantial, rugged shape. It was a far cry from feeling good. Although the cum and blood were reducing the friction, she still felt intense pain. But Serica gritted her teeth, holding back her groans. She actually felt some relief at the very least. As long as they kept fucking her, she was still alive. Hey, stroke me off with those pretty empty hands of yours, one of the men stuck his erect shaft beside her. The tip was dark red, bulging almost to bursting and throbbing threateningly. It was so grotesque that it seemed hardly human, but Serica couldn't turn him down right now. I'll use my hands to stroke and make you feel good. Serica gripped the raging hot shaft on her own and started stroking. She only had vague knowledge of how to do it since it was her first time giving a hand job, of course. She focused solely on moving her hands as best as she could. Take this one in your mouth, don't get your teeth on it. This time a thick dark prick was shaved in her face. The dick smelled so foul it made her nauseous. Yellow bits of dick cheese were packed tight around the head hanging off it. It looked gross and smelled rancid. She couldn't imagine sticking that thing in her mouth. Hey, didn't you want to live? Oh, I'll serve you with my mouth. Whatever. She couldn't hesitate. She still wanted to live. Serica steeled herself and swallowed the fiercely rancid cock. She tried her best to avoid breathing through her nose, but the smell and flavor was still intense. It tasted like rotten fish, nearly making her vomit. Serica continued to suck the penis through her tears and stick cheese irritating her tongue. Hey, stop focusing on those guys and tighten your clunt. Your cunt, clench your ass tighter. Yes, chill, whatever. Naturally, she had no experience tightening her pussy around the cock. Serica followed the man's directions and clenched her ass tight all while rubbing the other dick with her hand, slurping the one in her mouth. Glad you're working for it, but don't go leaking shit. If you get fucking shit on me, I'm gonna rip your asshole open and feed you your own shit while I kill you. Yes. She sobbed at this serious threat, but continued focusing on serving them. Her hand was slick on with one man's disgusting pre-cum. The bitter rancid taste spreading in her mouth made her want to vomit. Her pussy being forced apart was agonizing, but despite all that, Serica devoted herself to the man, hoping not to die. Yeah, that's nice and tight. How about you? This tightness feels good for you too, right? It feels good. Come or something. She answered, feeling not a shred of feminine pleasure, even sexual arousal. She just continued her labor of servicing the men. Give us some specific details on where and how it feels good. I'm my pussy, the grinding, your huge cock rubs me, feels good. Still, she responded to their demands to avoid displeasing them. She voiced those filthy words and vulgar expressions she would never use normally. Yeah, she said it. Is this girl an idiot? Hey, you've been reading too much porn. You think a girl would usually say that? So, I don't know. Though she was frustrated by their mockery, Serica continued her service through her tears. No matter how degrading, it was still better than being dead. My hand's all slick. My mouth smells like smegma. It's like cheese. It's delicious. It was so gross she wanted to puke, but she said the opposite of what she felt to try to make the man happy. It was all she could, or the man happy. It was all she could think of for now. It was all she could do. So she stuck the filthy rancid cock with her lips, stroked one with her fingers, and rode one in the crotch, desperately trying to excite them. Oh, you're getting used to sucking now, aren't you? Don't you love my smegma-covered cock that much? Oh, I love your dick cheese, whatever. Fuck that. Good, good. Then I'll let you swallow my semen, too. Suck harder.
No, she didn't let her other hand slop either, caressing the huge shaft as she was ordered. She swabbed the cock past her lips and kneaded his head to scrape the smegma off. She got his tip soaking wet with her spit, rubbed her tongue against the underside multiple times. Oh, I'm about to come. Use your throat, too. Stroke my cock with your throat. She swabbed the tip of his cock down her throat. Like he said, she used her throat like a pussy. Her gag reflex caused her to choke several times, nearly throwing up. Even as she suffered and cried, she fought the urge to puke and deep-throated him regardless. I want to be freed. I want to end this quickly. Those thoughts alone drove Serica to service those men with their full attention. Oh, I'm about to come. Tighten your cunt hard. I'm giving you cum, so you cum, too. Same here. I'll spray it all over your slutty body. Go on, swallow all my cum. The men raised their cries together almost in sync. The men getting filleted came in her mouth first. The shaft jerked wildly deep in her throat, unleashing a rush of jizz down her esophagus. Serica's eyes shot open as she screamed from the vorse fist ejaculate. You wanted my cum, right? Drank it down then. A fleshy, salty, bitter taste spread through her mouth. It was her first taste of cum. The foul, sticky shot sprayed against her throat. She didn't want to swallow that, but she couldn't refuse. She fought her revulsion down and desperately swallowed the cum shot into her mouth. The sticky liquid clung to her throat, lingered there, its raw smell filling her nose, making one regurgitate what she just swallowed. Still, she forced it back again, gulping at the clumps of jizz in her throat. Yeah, yeah, I'm coming on you. The other man pulled out of her pussy at the last minute and cum on her stomach. Then the man getting a handjob blasted his white load onto her blood-stained face. The reeking, gooey, burning hot mess left her feeling disgusting and awful. Her face, body, and innards were violated with cum, and she cried again from despair at her miserable state. Still, she wanted to live. No, she didn't want to die after enduring all that. Your hands are pretty good. I'll show you a bit of thanks. Yeah, that's right. I sold your mouth a lot, too, so I'll make it clean. Serica looked up at the man, unable to understand. Rush of liquid, far stronger than ejaculations, hit her face. They're peeing on her. The men were pissing on Serica. Their lukewarm, salty piss flowed down her throat. Go on, drink up. She swallowed down her filthy piss as commanded while they released it in her mouth. The saltiness, smell of ammonia stabbing at her nose, and her incredible suffering made her want to vomit again. Still, she worked her throat, gulping it down without spitting. Meanwhile, her face was showered in piss, washing away the blood and cum. The piss seeped into her wounds, causing burning pain. She drank down the mixture of their filthy piss and cum as it stained her face further. Still, she didn't resist. She couldn't. Even after being turned into a human toilet, she'd still desperately clung to survival. Good for you getting cleaned up. I'll give you a treat, too. The moment she thought she was finished swallowing it all, she felt a shocking impact to her swollen, piss and cum-filled body. The man in the crotch slammed his fist into her abdomen. Everything she swallowed rose up her throat at once. Not gonna hurl? Puke it up. The man put his weight behind the fist in her stomach, pressing down hard. The next instant, Serica's cheeks blew out like a chipmunk's. She finally vomited everywhere. The stress of fearing for life, intense body blow was more than a weak girl like her could handle. Her howling barely sounded human as she spat up cum, piss, and bile, emptying her stomach everywhere. Even after vomiting it all up, she couldn't stop hurling. Her body convulsed and heaved, mouth opening wide like she was going to spit up her organs. She was done. She didn't want any more of this. She hurt. She ached. It was frustrating, humiliating. She was close to death. Save me, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me, save me. Serica's crying for survival was all that kept her mind intact. Aha, you fucking chucked it all up. That was a heartfelt prison for you, too. Well, time to kill you. Shall we skewer from ass to mouth? That's too funny. Coating her in gasoline, lighting it up. It's a nice one, too, right? Oh, please, don't kill me, don't kill me. Vomit hung from her lips as she pleaded with the cackling men as they plotted how to kill her. Just don't kill me, forgive me. You want to live that badly, lame ass? Have you no pride? Well, she's that insistent. Oh, well, she satisfied our cocks, too. Let's hold off on killing her. Serica was pathetically relieved to hear him say that, so relieved that she didn't even notice the malice leaping into his tone. In the depths of darkness, a rattle like iron bars sliding away ran out. Serica paid the sound no mind, though. She couldn't stop herself from crying again, her relief from escaping death. The man was right. She found herself pathetic for throwing away her human dignity just to clean its survival. She was wretched, pleading with the men who stole her chastity, came inside her, punched her in the face until misshapen, and showered her in piss and cum. But all those sentiments and troubles vanished from her mind in the next moment. So we'll hold up our bargain and let you live. Well, we will. She saw a huge, creepy mass of flesh crawling toward her from behind the men. Here comes the maggot. Serica screamed when she saw the monster approaching her. It had so many countless tentacles growing from it, she couldn't see its main body. The city special monster, a maggot, had entered her room. Worse, was clearly lusting after Serica. Her female instincts told her that much. Her whole body shivered with a revulsion different from her fear of death. No, no way! That she was maggot bait, and in a sense, that might even be a worse fate than death. However, her body was numb from the blows to her gut. It wouldn't listen to her commands. That thing's body fluid turns pain into pleasure. Have fun, you two. Well, maybe you won't die. It's up to that monster.
Those words hung on to Serica's ears. Oh,
woman.
The maggot's main body issued a queer cry, its fleshy tentacles wriggling as they assailed Serica. Unable to move, she was easily captured. The slick surface of the tentacles wrapped around her body, causing her to issue a strained scream of disgust. Help me, Goody likes you. The men just sneered as they watched Serica desperately reach out to them. While maggots prioritized attacking women, they had still moved a safe distance away. Tentacles wrapped around Serica's outstretched hand, seizing it and biting her whole body with tentacles. The sight of the soft organs made her so nauseous that the men's grotesque cocks seemed cute comparison. They held her captive, keeping her frozen with revulsion. What do you mean they like me? No, don't go in me. Serica quickly tried to close her crotch as the tendrils crawling over her legs wriggled up towards it. She was going to get fucked, not by a human man, but by an unintelligent beast seeking to breed. It was repulsive and made her hair stand on end. She didn't want to let it enter her body, but... I don't even know what he's saying. There were bumps and ridges all over the surface of the tentacles holding Serica, and an unpleasant sensation lingered as they crawled over her skin. They slithered all over her whole body like they were trying to coat her skin in their filthy, sticky slime. Every time that surface rubbed against her body, shivers raced up her spine. Part of that was because of how gross it felt, of course, but... Ah, what's this? The more terrifying fact was that a sultry heat was building within her body. At some point, she'd stopped feeling pain from the merciless violence she endured. Is that enough? No pain in her body was shoved out by a different sensation. Even her breath took on a hint of heat. Serica recognized this sensation, similar to when she was alone, when she was masturbating, experiencing sexual arousal. Ow! Her body was steadily growing flush with lust, even though the disgusting tentacles she rejected keep fondling her. Finally, even that disgust started morphing into something satisfying. She was steadily drained of her resistance, and her thighs started to loosen up. Ah, she's seriously getting off on this monster. The men retreated to a safe area, ridiculed her as they watched from a distance. That's not... She tried to deny it, but her body lacked the strength to as... Strength, too, as it shuddered with unexpected joy. Her closed thighs spread embarrassingly wide. A thick tentacle drove towards the crotch, pressing its opportunity. The cold, slimy tentacle suddenly entered her pussy. She let out a high-pitched scream, full of revulsion at the sensation. No, don't go in, can't take it, or something. Her screams broke off, turning into moans. She didn't feel any pain like when the men had their way with her. In fact, it was the opposite. When the tentacle's nubs rubbed against her pussy wall, the sweet, numbing sensation raced through her. It was the same sensation she felt when she touched herself in a good spot. No, this won't... The filthy slime covering the tentacles soaked into her body. She heaved a sigh, tinted with arousal. The maggot's fluid seeped into her pussy, converting the stinging pain into numbing sexual stimulation. This is crazy! How was she feeling good while this monster fucked her? The more she questioned it, the deeper she was hooked. Pleasure welled up within her, and she completely lost the will to resist. As if gauging the moment Circa's resistance faltered, the tentacles shoved their way up her butt, too. It was her first time taking a foreign object up her ass, but the pain and resistance were quickly washed away. The slime on the tentacles rubbed into her rectum, giving her as much pleasure as her genitals did. Maybe it's because the rectum absorbed it faster, even though it was her first time with anything thrusting into her ass, it felt better than her pussy. As if waiting for Serica to start going mad, a bundle of thin tentacles reached for her from the main body. The tips of the tendrils split open, revealing a mouth with small humanoid teeth dripping slime. Then, the tips of the tentacle mouth bit Serica's skin. Her whole body jerked like a spring as she screamed. The bitten skin peeled off, and the flesh beneath was torn and eaten too. Blood trailed from her skin. Naturally, this brought tremendous pain, but Serica was assailed by a stranger twist of events. This pain is, The intense pain vanished in an instant, as if it never existed. Of course, her wounds hadn't healed. They just didn't hurt. Or rather, it feels good. The tentacles in her ass and pussy thrusted wildly, drilling deep into Serica, stirring her insides. Her whole body was enveloped in sweet numbness and felt impossibly good, better than she ever tasted while masturbating. It's giving me this. Serica couldn't comprehend what was happening to her body, filling her with terror alongside the pleasure. It feels good. After that, the pleasure swallowed her up like she was rolling downstairs. It was nothing like her earlier performance. She felt true, mind-melting pleasure. It's grinding against my pussy. My ass pussy feels... bleeding is amazing. What blue fuck feels good? What? Bite my body more. Bite me off. I've never felt anything this good. Monster sex. Serica went mad with lust, spouting lewd nonsensical phrases one after another. Even though her body's walls were being scraped and countless spots along her body were being bitten off, even though her skin was torn and bleeding, revealing the pink flesh below. No, she just wasn't being bitten outside her body. I'm being bitten inside too, nibbling my womb, biting me on my womb, my belly too. It's grinding and biting my ass while it fucks. The tentacles inside her body were biting her vagina, womb, and even her rectum, gobbling both their walls and the flesh beyond them. She was already in enough pain to die from shock, but her body shuddered in convulsive pleasure instead. Does it feel that good getting eaten while fucked? The slime on these things is some kind of aphrodisiac, right? It's enough to make witches come their minds out, so I bet it's crazy when injected in humans. Aphrodisiac? I'm becoming an aphrodisiac funky? Junkie. No, this monster's aphrodisiac. The monster slime did have an aphrodisiac effect. They had already drugged her past the point of no return. However, she didn't have enough reason left to feel endangered after learning that. She was already a drugged-up sow. The whites of her eyes were showing as her tongue hung out, her face muscles loose. Even then, it's continued to fuck Serica's holes as it ate her. The maggot's countless open mouths ate random holes in Serica's body, internally and externally. They had already reached deep inside her abdomen. My belly! Serica's belly was bloated and swollen like she was pregnant. The impression and shape of the huge tentacle heads undulating inside were visible through the surface of her child's skin. This really tentacle rape feels so good. No way, I'm coming. The teeth tentacles bit through her rectum and womb, trying to dive into the center of her body. Serica knew she was being eaten, but she barely felt the nibbles and love bites. She was completely unaware that many of her bodily systems were being torn apart. I'm coming from biting sex. I'm coming. Her body arched back hard with the thick tentacles binding her as she orgasmed. She couldn't perceive what was happening to her body. She could only surrender herself to pleasure and expose her orgasmic look. Her body convulsed as the maggot's tentacles ate into it, chewing her up. They ripped off the flesh from her chest and stomach, using the new holes to let more tentacles inside her body. Her body was like a lump of feed swarmed by eels at a breeding farm. Oh, it's biting my belly, grinding inside. Oh, I'm still coming. Blood oozed from her body, littered with holes, yet Serica continued climaxing without realizing that. Drugged up aphrodisiacs, her thoughts were consumed with pleasure. She didn't care what was happening to her. Whoa, gruesome. She's smiling while that thing eats her alive. Well, she gets to die in pleasure, so she must be happy. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. Lovey-dovey fucking rules. Feels so good. My mind's breaking. Serica responded almost gratefully, reaching another peak of pleasure as the men turned their dirty grins toward her. The maggot began moving like it was aroused as Serica continued climaxing. Its mouth spoke warped human language, woman, pussy, and repeated those two like it didn't have any other thoughts. Its tentacles started undulating again, pressing and squeezing its fleshy tendrils against her captive body. They dug into Serica's skin, creaking her bones. Oh, it's heightening, it's good. Mona's coming, I don't know. It squeezed tight enough to break her body. The suffocating agony was still present. But right now, that was converted to pleasure for Serica. She spouted obscene, nonsensical words with a smile as her spine spasmed repeatedly. At the same time, a bumpy lump bulged up from Serica's belly. Oh, something amazing's coming. The swollen lump bulged until her skin was as taut as possible. Then it erupted with a pop like a breaking balloon. A mass of blood and innards poured out, and the tentacle reared its head like a blood-soaked infant. The tip bore a mouth equipped with human teeth, chomping as those are not human teeth. Serica's flesh, it had finally eaten through her stomach and protruded out. Ugh, coming. Ugh. The moment her stomach burst, Serica's whole body arched back and convulsed. Still, she felt no pain. An inverse portion of overwhelming pleasure surged over her. She blissfully climaxed as she coughed up blood, unaware that her own stomach was eaten, though. The tentacles clamped down even harder on Serica's body, as if it taken a liking to her meat. One wrapped around her neck and dug into her throat too, cutting off her airway. Can't breathe. She could hardly breathe. Pardon. And the pain was overwhelming, but it was still converted into pleasure. Suffocating. Dying. Felt incredibly good. Don't want to die. I'm coming. The suffocation deprived her brain of oxygen, and her vision grew pitch black. Her consciousness was fading into the distance. She understood she was on the verge of death. Am I dying? That thought caused tears of sadness and terror to flow from her eyes, but in the next instant, those feelings were overwritten with pleasure, too. It hurts so much. Don't want to. Oh, it feels so good. What? Serica was dying not just from oxygen deprivation, but blood loss, too. Oh, is she gonna come? Is she gonna die? The men watching on more vulgar... Vulgar sneers as Serica climaxed with her last breath. I'm coming! Canceling out her feeble, strained voice of Serica was... Canceling out the feeble, strained voice of Serica was the echo of her bones and joints crushing. Serica's body was breaking in all directions in the tentacle's grasp. With her neck bone snapped, Serica finally breathed her last. But her body still reacted to the moment her strength left her. She passed on in the middle of climax. Oh, she's dead now. Well, as promised, we didn't kill her. You live on within our hearts, Sarika-chan. Rest in peace. Yaha, you idiot. Who's Sarika-chan? You already forgot her. How cruel. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm hungry, so let's grab some food. The men had already lost interest in Sarika, laughing as they left the bloodstained execution room. Even after all the humans left, the sound of chewing continued to echo in the room, the hard crack of bones breaking, the wet smacking of flesh being devoured. Sarika's corpse lost all human shape in there. Yeah, that's one of the most disgusting and disappointing parts of the whole novel. I fucking hate that part. Consider the concept of despair. It comes from disparar, to be without hope, which first assumes that the opposite concept, hope or ideals, must also exist. Only when the assumed hope is lost and inverted is despair first born. Therefore, it is a secondary concept, one which none bore when first born into this world. It was always an acquired concept. So in that sense, one could also describe despair as a potential energy release when falling from the heights one has obtained. Its quantity equals that difference, which is to say, it's predetermined by how high one's hopes or lofty one's ideals are. This would mean hope and despair are tightly bound at the point of occurrence, becoming two sides of the same coin. The more blinding one's light of hope, the denser and vaster the darkness of despair that follows its loss. For example, one's hope of loving a single person with devotion inverts, it gives birth to a despair of never-ending hatred toward a single person. Now, following that premise, just how vast and deep would the darkness be when born from the hope of trying to love all of mankind? Yes, that would surely create a hatred towards all of mankind, leading to a rejection of love on a global scale. Say a small flower of good intention was trying to bloom in a corner of the world. It would surely crush that underfoot with violence and self-interest overriding it, almost as if some kind of power were acting as a preordained law. Such a man was born in a land surrounded by the rocks and sand of the eastern Mediterranean about 2,000 years ago. He loved every person in the world and longed to save them all. However, the world would not accept his goal. The man was captured by tyrants and sentenced for the crime of claiming to be their messiah. There were none who would fight to protect him. In fact, many ridiculed and despised him, calling him a madman. What awaited that man was violent torture. The flesh was whipped from his bones, and a crown of thorns was driven into his skull. Then he was forced to carry on his back a cross, the execution device that would kill him, so huge and heavy it made his bones grate and break against each other, all the way to his place of execution. He fell thrice upon the road there, but was still driven on further like an animal. The man was brought before the public and executed by crucifixion, the method that would ensure the longest suffering. First, iron nails were driven between the radius and ulna of his wrists. Then his knees were bent sideways, and both his feet were nailed down as well. This forced an unnatural posture in addition to the pain, making it difficult to properly support his own weight. Once the cross was raised upright off the ground, his whole weight fell upon his arms, dislocating his shoulders. With his arm support lost, his body's weight centered on his chest, applying pressure to his diaphragm and making it difficult to breathe. The external wounds to his body had already caused fluid buildup in his lungs, which only exacerbated the pain of taking breaths. The man was left there before the public in the state for over half a day. The suffocation was slow, drawn out over a cruel length of time. Then after he endured that suffering, they broke both his ankles with a hammer. With that, he could no longer support himself with his legs, and it became impossible to stretch his torso and fill his lungs. Robbed of even the most minimal means of breathing, the man quickly expired from oxygen deprivation. Thus, that man breathed his last after facing unimaginable agony. However, what drove him to the depths of despair was not the hell his body endured. The agony upon his soul, what truly crushed and inverted his noble ideals, his shining hope, was the rejection, lack of understanding, and scorn that filled the faces of those he loved and tried to save, as well as the betrayal by friends he truly trusted. Thus, after this man died and became worshipped as a god, his despair became an extensive curse spread across the world. It affirmed atrocities and hatred as it became an invisible law of casually rejecting love and mutual understanding. The vastness of that inversion in truth proved that man was indeed a saint capable of saving all humanity. Palestine, the land where that man was born, never once experienced peace in the 2,000 years of history that followed, and even now, as people continue to wage war and shed blood, turning it into a violent hell. And now, in the present. An otherworldly abyss swirls in the sky of old Kaju City, now pandemonium. In the center of that maelstrom of darkness floats a rosy, young girl. The sky around her was a hell of a simultaneous sweltering heat and frigid cold, both strong enough to break down the cells of any normal human there. Right now, at this very second, she was enduring untold agony. Yes, that wasn't the only source of agony afflicting this young girl trapped in that evil sky. Half of her pale face was covered in dense growths of rose thorns. The thorns were wrapped around her small head like a crown, stabbing into both of her eyes and causing her to shed copious tears of blood. Moreover, all four of her limbs were severed, stakes driven through her wounded stumps and pinning her in space. She was crucified. Even those that weren't believers worshipping the cross would picture that man. In fact, it looked like an intentional caricature of that. The young girl was abandoned there, enduring violent abuse more atrocious than the sacrifice 2,000 years ago. Here and there, evil wounds opened on their own along their pale, tender body. Lacerations like sharp blades cutting deep and severing her ribs. Puncture wounds like the whole body was being skewered and run through from one end to the other. Burns like she was being seared in an invisible fire, her skin charring and blistering. As each appeared, the young girl wailed with an otherworldly scream, bloody tears streaming down her cheeks. Even at this very moment, the young girl's crotch and genitals were burning, like some invisible hot rod was inserted inside her. The girl's cries rang out with a beastly tone. Eventually, the skin below her pale belly opened from the inside into a round, burnt hole. Smoke billowed out like she was a human chimney. Smoke filled the foul odor of her burning womb and uterus. The young girl was close to passing out from the excessive pain, but this time, red, painful welts from a straw noose appeared around her neck. The bruises dug into her neck and tightened, like someone strangling a chicken. The girl immediately began to suffocate, her tongue lolling after the new torture of her hanging. Her pink tongue began to turn as purple as an eggplant. The number of torments appearing over her varied in taste to an abnormal degree, almost without any duplication. Every second, the girl's body was continuously assaulted by such traces of torture. Even if her body was immortal, it looked like her mind would reach its limit and break first. It would be difficult for anyone to maintain their sanity before such constant, endless, and cruel torment. Why on earth was this young girl pinned in that evil sky? And why did she continue to be subjected to this eternal, endless abuse? Did the man standing beneath the swirling abyss in the sky at the peak of the highest tower in Pandemonium know why? If he knew, then what thoughts went through his mind as he continued to observe her? I guess we're about one or two of them away. The man, or that man rather, Shimon, muttered without emotion, leaving everything unclear. Whatever that statement meant was never conveyed to anyone else. Soon after, the short middle-aged man clad in a black suit rose from his seat with annoyance. Well, that means we can manage if I just round up the ones still left. Meanwhile, I guess I'll entertain our guests. The topmost floor of Slumville. With all of its dividers removed, the vast space was quiet and still like a palace solely for Shimon. It was currently being flooded with constant alerts of an emergency in the lower floors. The outside intruder had passed all their violent devices erected along the way, destroying every one as he closed in on this top floor, all within a terrifyingly short span of time. At that moment, most of Shimon's personal combat forces were dispatched outside to find and eliminate Tsunaga Shogo. This intruder's assault had been too rapid to call them back. It ain't that young man. Well, I can't think of anyone else who pulled this nonsense. Shimon didn't shed his slightly detached attitude, even with the impending situation. Maybe that was just part of his naturally warped nature, but it's more due to the frightening absolute authority of the relic within him, because he was aware of that. Shimon was convinced of the visitor's origins the moment he saw him. Huge black man's footsteps echoed on the stairs to the floor as he climbed the steps one by one. So you're the one who possesses the Gospel of Judas. By the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I ask you to return it to its proper caretakers. Valentinos arrogantly spat. His ruthless eyes glared at Shimon. I see. You're a guest from the Vatican. You must be tired from coming all the way out here. Unfortunately, I still need this a bit longer. I can't really return it at this moment. Shimon answered playfully, maddening rage quietly brewed within Valentinos' eyes. The wild beast colored by God growled within his huge 2-meter frame. Will a man rob God? You know not your place in heaven, fool. Tonight you shall return to earth along with this filthy city. Valentinos practically spat out the holy verse as he took a step forward. Well, I guess you can't go home quietly. Let's chat then. Shimon calmly took a step forward without raising his guard in response. The distance between the opposing pair grew shorter, and the space filled with condensed malice and hostility. Simon of Samaria. Samaria? Simon of Samaria, since you call yourself by that tainted name, you seek blasphemy against God? You would scorn God and vow fealty to Satan? What? The devil? I ain't got any business with that guy. In fact, just the other day, I sent one of them packing at the door. The moment he heard those words, Shimon lost it and began to explode. Too small, too small. My business is up even higher with that god of yours. What? The Inquisitor's power clearly changed at that unbelievable remark. His bared white fangs grinded like a lion's as his brow wrinkled with a valley formed of rage. It's a pathetic story for someone my age. There's this woman I've always admired, and she's denouncing your god. Gonna tell him there ain't love in this world. Shimon laughed, unable to hold it back again. Ain't that just so girly and childish that it makes you laugh? But I gotta listen to the whims of the woman I fell for. She's gonna create a world filled with love. He muttered with a lonely, self-derisive tone. At the same time, the skin exposed beneath his suit began to change. It flipped in different spots like sheets of paper, glowing as lines of Greek letters appeared along its surface. I see. You've used some tainted black arts to assimilate the gospel into your own skin. Valentino's prepared for combat with a relic before him. I understand clearly now. I will have to render you a pulp and peel the skin from your flesh to take back home. The huge bulwark of a man in a dark suit simply started walking forward. His joints cracked as he formed a pair of fists. Then, he began reciting Holy Scripture. Okay, so this is where we're going to leave off for the first part. And then the second part is the great big shonen battle that you guys wanted to see. So, I know you're all wanting to see this battle. And it's good. Just give me a bit and we'll be right back.